بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. صدق الله العظيم. As per the teachings of our honorable and beloved Sheikh and Ustaz, Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib Dama Barakatuhu Mu'ana, says that learn sunnahs and teach sunnahs. Make dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives us the knowledge of every sunnah. Every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah give us the full knowledge of it. We have this desire. That Ya Allah, I want to know every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, to have love for every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love them, everything else in the world. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that a person cannot be a true and complete believer until I am more beloved to him. Then his parents, his children and all the people that he should love me the most. So Allah give us the knowledge of every sunnah. Love for every sunnah. Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to make amal upon every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever we may be, whatever condition it may be. And that Allah accept us, our families, our progenies for the khidmat and service of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the entire world. Among the sunnahs to begin the talk and the discussion, mudakara, as Hazrat says, start with the sunnah. And because the month of Ramadan, the month of barakat, the sunnahs of the month of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. They partake of the early morning, the pre-dawn meal, sihri. Partake of it. Make sure you partake of the sihri, because in sahur, in sihri, there is barakah. So one is we wake up and partake of sihri. And regarding this as a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to make niyati Allah, fulfilling a sunnah. One is, I know it's a sunnah, we have the knowledge and we have love for it. Many homes we find last minute, the children will just wake up, hardly have sehri also, no regard, no azmat, no grandeur, no reverence for the sunnah and love for the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But if I'm going out, I must take the patkos, as if it is farz, that we must have this and we prepare it well in advance. We wait for Umrah, what we will take on the plane, what we will eat at the stop, in transit, what we will eat when we land at a certain destination, how to pack it, which bag to pack it, and then to keep it also frozen. The amount of effort that goes in it, as if now this is farz khana, this food is farz, we have to take it. We can't do without it. The love for the sunnah, that this sehri is sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, to have love for it, and then to make amal upon it, and then to spread this also. As recently Hazrat Wala was saying also, there's barakah, there's noor in everything that is attached to the month of Ramadan. So in this sehri meal also there's great amount of noor and barakah. That a person wakes up properly with azmat and love and grandeur that are partaking of sehri. And to make the niyat of sunnah, once a person makes the niyat of sunnah, then the value of that meal increases in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it attracts the love, attention of Allah, that my banda, my slave girl, and this family, Muslim family, are emulating and copying the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That amal of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam that was found within his homes, this was designed by Allah jalla jalaluhu, inspired to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, and drew the greatest amount of love from the side of Allah. When we will do this as a family also, we will show due respect and muhabbat and love. Not because it's like waking up to have a meal. So just a meal. This is sehri, this barakat, there's noor in it. To make the need of sunnah, the need of barakat. So when our family will wake up also, emulating the homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that amount of attention and tawajjuh and love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured upon those homes in Madinatul Munawwara, Azwajul Mutahharat, the same barakat will come into my home now. Will come into my family, to my children. So my niyat as a housewife also, I'm making barakati khana right now. I'm preparing barakati food. There's barakat in this food. So this food, now obedience will come in my children. The love for sunnah will come in my children. Usually every day we are doing it because we've got to eat. And unfortunately we South Africans, as I was saying yesterday also, that if we eat simple, then there won't be so much of shopping also. Little ingredients, little expenditure, kharacha, because the food is simple. So this also is sunnah. Badada, simplicity is part of iman, is part of the sunnah. So for the mother in the home also to make this niyat, are preparing barakati food right now. So the barakat of the sunnah, obedience will come in my children. The love of sunnah will come into my children. And for them to become true ummati, the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this quality will come into their hearts. So we make the intention. Once you make the intention, Allah ta'ala dispatches malaika and his help. They're going to help that family, go help those children now, because the niyat was made. And to tie this up with the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, discussion for today, mudakara, on the story and the incidents of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, wherein Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam mentioned to the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam when they came and they acknowledged that they did harm Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and they said to their father, then make istighfar for us. Seek repentance on our behalf to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam responded and said, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum rabbi. So for soon I will make istighfar for you all before my Rabb tabarak wa ta'ala. Soon he said, Sawfa, soon. But first he didn't say that, he said, I will not make istighfar now, but soon, referring to the time of tahajjud and sari. It's the time to make istighfar. Ashabi Karam also described in Quran, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. The time of Ashar, Sehri, they will make istighfar. So we taught in the month of Ramadan also, what is istighfar to make? The mother is making, preparing the food, the children are getting ready to come and partake of the meal. That we are taught in Fazail Amal, in the hadith of Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that there are four things we cannot do without in the month of Ramadan. La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah. We can use the plural. Nastaghfirullah. As a family, we're making istighfar. La ilaha illallah. Nastaghfirullah. Nas'alullah al-jannah wa na'udhu billahi minan nahar. Mother is making this tasbih. She's preparing the food. La ilaha illallah. Nastaghfirullah. Nas'alullah al-jannah wa na'udhu billahi minan nahar. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said to his sons, I will make dua for y'all. I will make istighfar for y'all at the time of tahajjud and sihri. And now the mother at home is doing the same thing, imitating Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. So what is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then the sunnah of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam making dua istighfar for his children. Now as a mother, I'm doing the same thing that's mentioned in Quran Sharif in Surah Yusuf. So how much of barakat Allah will give us in that home now when we make all these intentions at the time of Sahri. Allah is giving us grand opportunities. The bazaar is open right now for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and all the bargains are being handed out. That, O Muslim mother of the Ummah, take as much benefit as you want. Allah is prepared to give so much. Al-khayru kathirun wa fa'iluha qaleelun. The avenues of khayr are plenty, but the doers are less. So who is there to do it and to take these bargains from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? So one is now preparing the food with the niyat of sunnah, and is mustahab, and then there's barakah in it. Then istighfar also, we are making for ourselves, nastaghfirullah, we're using the plural word. We seek repentance and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nas'alullah al-jannah, ya Allah, I'm asking jannah to my entire family, entire ummah. Wa na'udhu billahi minan nar, we seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of Jahannam. For myself, for my family, marhum parents, marhumin that have passed on also. Asking for them jannat, istighfar for them also, as many niyats as we can make, as we are told by Hazrat Abdul Hamisa, make as many intentions as possible, accordingly Allah Ta'ala will give you the reward. So this is a sunnah that we start off with. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring as many sunnahs in our life as possible, and fill our homes with the nur of sunnah, the commands of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. To commence with the story and incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in reality we cannot do justice to one harf and letter of Quran Sharif. Thus we make dua to Allah, Ya Allah we are jahil, Ya Allah you teach us. Ya Allah we don't have adab, Ya Allah you make us people of adab and respect. Ya Allah we don't know how to behave, Ya Allah you make us behave in a manner that is pleasing to you. We ask Allah Ta'ala sitting in the halqa of ta'aleem to teach us the realities of Quran Sharif. What is Quran Sharif about? The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are realities. For us to dive into these realities and our families also. Or else if not in realities, our life will become a fake life. All the fashion of the world is fake. And as ulama say, if we don't learn to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is true love, then we will never learn to love our families and children and husbands also. It will be fake love. Any time that love can break. But if I learn to love my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will teach me how to love my husband, which is true love. How much of love to give my children also. Not beyond. Today we find the list of du'as that the mothers are making for the children. So many du'as. Internally, externally. My children from, as if the entire du'a is only for the children. I could be wrong, but we look at the treasures of ahadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we can find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making so many du'as for his Mubarak home, so Fatima, Zainab, Ruqayya, Ummu Kulthum. If we can find so much du'a that he made for the family, it was more for the ummah. And included there was his family also. As the Mufti Rajpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says in his fatawa, that dua that is void, that the ummah, is that mentioned in that dua of a certain person that's making dua, then he says, for ye dua naqis dua, that dua is incomplete. There is no dua for the ummah, then the dua is incomplete. So every dua, with my children also, and my family, and Hazrat says, gauge our duas, how much we are making for our dunya, for our akhirat. If it's only for my children's dunya, Ya Allah, they must settle down, they must get good spouses, give them the best of dunya. He says, how much dua are we making for dunya shows the amount of love we have for dunya compared to akhirat. Because dunya is going to leave us one day. We are going to leave it. So from dua we can gauge now where the heart is stuck. Is it stuck now in my qabr, mahshar, qiyamat, akhirat, jannat, or is stuck in my family, my little home there, my children? How much love we have for akhirat? So in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we cannot do justice to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Just before the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in Surah Hud. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of Surah Hud, every surah is joined to the next one. Every ayat is joined to the next ayat. It's called Rabt Ayat, Rabt Surah. So they all are linked and joined. The kalam and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing that is haphazard. Everything is linked and there's great wisdom and hikmat beyond our comprehension. So towards the end of Surah Hud, just before Yusuf alayhi salatu sorry can begin, Allah reveals to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلْ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That, O my beloved Nabi, نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ, that we narrate to you, we relate to you, مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلْ, from some of the incidents of the Anbiya and the messengers before you, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ, we narrate to you these incidents. مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, by means of which these incidents we will fortify and make your heart strong. When do you make a heart strong? When that heart is being tested. And who is not being tested? The test of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every test we can think about Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam went through in his life. Whether daughters getting divorced, whether famine, whether boycott, whether being ostracized, whether being boycotted, sanctions, no food, 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib, Shi'bu Abi Talib, where no food, it was a crisis, humanitarian crisis. No food was allowed, like today we are seeing in Gaza right now, children are being starved to death. Ulama say that the crying of the children of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum could be heard in the gullies of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Same thing being repeated now. So somewhere the other, somebody is making sabr and being patient. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, after putting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through all these tests, then Allah brings the ayat in Surah Hud, just before this ayat that I have quoted, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Oh my Nabi, be absolutely steadfast. No matter what conditions will come upon you, be absolutely steadfast, don't move. Mufassirin explain how you take a pig, like a tent we have, and we pig it. And we take that massive hammer and we pig that pig into the ground. It must not move an inch to the right or to the left. O Nabi of Allah, fastaqim, don't move whatsoever. Not to the right, not to the left. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam will say, the Shayyibat Nihud, that this ayat of Surah Hud turned me white. There is no place for me to move. Day after Allah, Allah says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Hazrat Wala says, that don't even be inclined with your heart. One is physically now, don't go to the avenues, don't join them, don't emulate them, don't copy them. And وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا, even with your heart, don't desire to be like them. Whether it be the fashion, the style, the thinking, the holidays, the homes also. Don't even have a desire to be like them whatsoever. So one is physically, they don't even emulate them, don't even walk in that direction, don't even open that magazine also. To see how they're living it up, where they're going, what they're doing. Don't even open their website. And don't even desire it also. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, this ayat turned me white. And then the next ayat towards the end of the surah, oh my Nabi, we relate to you all the stories of the past Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to make your heart strong. Then Surah Yusuf starts. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam understands that what happened to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was my brother from among the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. More tests still to come ahead. More tests still to come ahead. Then the ayat is being revealed one after the other. And for us to check also when you're reading our Quran Sharif now in the month of Ramadan, when you start the surahs, at least check which surah this is, Makki or Madani. At least that nisbat and connection we have. When you read the ayat, we know this is a Makki ayat, Makki surah. Makki meaning these ayat were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the hijrah. Not necessarily in Makkah Mukarramah, but before the hijrah. Could be anywhere. Madani ayat revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam after the hijrah migration. Hijrah migration. Not necessarily in Madina Munawwara, but could be anywhere. Uhud, Badr. So this is Makki surah and Madani surah. How many ayats in the surah? 111 ayats in the surah. So Allah Ta'ala already prepares the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that who was there to inform him? The Sahaba Ikram heard the story, they were astonished. The difference, this is Wahi. Nobody knew the story in detail of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So in regards to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in Quran Sharif, his name is mentioned 27 times. 25 times in Surah Yusuf, and two other places in the Quran besides Surah Yusuf is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. When it comes to the honor and distinction of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba Ikram asked. And here Hazrat says also, see, Sahaba Ikram, they learned the deen in the majlis. How they asked it? They were sitting in Masjid al-Nabi, sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or they were sitting in Makkah al-Mukarramah in Dar al-Arqam, where ta'alim was taking place. Mount Safa, at the foot of Mount Safa, was the house of Arqam bin Arqam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Sahaba Ikram used to gather and have ta'alim there. Obviously, you know, there was no Fazal Amal at the time. But what was the ta'lim there? All these ayat that were revealed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in regards to the sacrifices of the past Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hud, and Surah Yusuf was revealed. And all these incidents of the past Anbiya were being revealed. The Sahaba Ikram were gathered together. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would recite to them these ayat. Like how Jamaats go out for Gush, and they recite the third kalima. So ulama says, Sahaba Ikram were gathered there, these ayat taught to them, that you feel you are making qurbani, you're going to sacrifice, you are being patient, sometimes is your mother, sometimes is your father, sometimes is your children, some sacrifice to the other. Every home was being tested right now in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the homes of the Muslims. So these ayat were taught to them, and then they were sent out to go meet the other people undercover, and they would recite these ayat over here as consolation to their hearts. If Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was tested in this way, then my test is small. For this ulama said, that person who's going through a depression, so to say, or some grief, some sorrow, they say the greatest ilaj and the greatest remedy, treatment for when the heart is down and low and broken, ulama say, read the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read about his life and see what he went through, and then your burden will be lightened. Imam Nabi went through so much, being the ma'asum, the habibi, the beloved of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then the heart automatically feels for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, how he went through it, I forget my own grief, what I'm going through. So like this, sahaba ikram were taught these ayat over here. So sahaba ikram learned deen from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when they sat in his company, majlis was taking place. And you would hear them saying, kunna julusan inda Rasulullah. Jalasna inda Rasulullah. Those julus, jalasna, means majlis. We were sitting in the majlis and here, and that's where we learned our deen from. Therefore we have the halqas of ta'alim for the masturat, and for the men in the masjid, to encourage the women who sit in the program, learn your deen. That is the only avenue that we can learn deen, and deen is from heart to heart. Is that from the radio, from some channel, or from social media? There, you know, I can't make nikah through that also. I have to make nikah in the masjid. Husband and wife have to get together, they make a home together, they have children together. So for myself also, for the deen and that, the heat and the warmth of deen to come into my life, into my family, into my children, I have to sit in that company of pious. And our Hazrat always says that when it comes to our masturat, they all are very pious, alhamdulillah. They have it in them naturally. It's just that they need good company for a good amount of time and their hearts will change. Just good company and good amount of time. But we know when it comes to the masturat, when it comes, we say, to click with good company, it takes a lot of time. We go for the ta'alim, I didn't feel comfortable. They didn't welcome me. They didn't smile at me. Or the baby was crying. They gave me a stiff look. I'm not going back again. All this shaitani, doka, deception. Not to let you go there. For the men, easy for them to come. It takes a long time for istar to take place. As I said, for ladies, the biggest step lies to get to the ta'alim. To go and sit in the company of pious women and ladies. For a good amount of time. And then their hearts will change very, very quickly. So to get rid of all these excuses, I have to go and learn my deen. So here Sahaba radiallahu anhu was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that O Nabi of Allah, who is the most noble person? Man akramun nas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, they're the most pious one. Atqahum. The Sahaba ikram said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluk. O Nabi of Allah, we're not asking about that. For piety and taqwa. We ask him about who's the most noble person in character, in way. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam replied and understood, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. Ibn al-Kareem. Who was that? Yusuf bin Yaqub bin Ishaq bin Ibrahim. Alayhim salatu wasalam. What do you see? Like a royal family. Like a royal family. He says, the noble one. Who was the most noble? He says, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. The noble one. Son of the noble one. Son of the noble one. Son of the noble one. Who was that? So Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, son of Yaqub, son of Ishaq, son of Ibrahim. All messengers of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Imagine our home of messengers, but then to what a test for Yaqub alayhi salatu salam. And then I ask myself, why me? Why my family? Why is it happening to us? What wrong we did? Tests will come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so to say a royal family of all Anbiya alayhi salam, all sinless, no gunas. But what a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting right from Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, had to leave his young son Ismail and his young wife Hajar, that qurbani, then to slaughter him, and the qurbani of his wife Hajar, leaving Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salatu salam, near the Ka'batullah, that time no water, some commentators say that she left him there, went to Mount Safa, because she had nothing to feed him, no water, no milk, she left him to die. She couldn't see him dying before her own eyes. So she said, better I go far from him. So she went to Mount Safa. She climbed it. From there she's looking at him. And today we have commanded also, they climb Mount Safa, say La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Sallu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we go there, make the ninth istilam also. What love Allah Ta'ala must have had for Hajar. That here Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam leaving her. And some people say, are you going out in the path of Allah? You're going here, you're going there. Absent father syndrome. He's never at home. Look at your children, what they are doing. Same thing Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. That thing left behind enough to feed his own family. So she goes to Mount Safa, and from there she sees the baby still kicking in the sand near the Ka'batullah. Then she comes down. We find Al-Milayn Al-Akhdareen, the two green lights. That's where the men run. That is where Hajar ran also, radiallahu anha. Why she ran there? Commanded to say, because when she came to that part of the valley, she couldn't see her baby. So with that perturbedness and that fright and that the ghabrat in her, that I don't know if it's still alive or not, so she ran quickly to go to Marwa to see again whether it's alive. We can imagine now the run of that wife of Ibrahim, mother of Ummah, mother of Ismail, what was going through our hearts right now. My husband is out in the path of Allah doing the effort of deen. She's making sabr and he's being patient also, both of them fulfilling the rights of deen, the haqq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So she ran there. And we know the fear of the mother. Nowadays the mother can't find the dummy for the child. How parishan she is. 1-2 hours, she'll phone nanny's house, phone daddy's house, the dummy there. Child can't sleep. Here the child is starving to death. How Allah must have loved the run of hers. So she ran for who? For Allah. When you go there, Allah, I'm running for you now. Allah, you made Hajar run, Allah, I'll run for you now. I'll run towards you, towards your deen, in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came to Marwa, she sees again, he's still alive. 7 times up and down, still she sees the form of a man, silhouette of a man next to Ismail. Help has come. When she goes there's no one there. But she finds Zamzam. Allah gave Zamzam for the Ummah till Qiyamah. From your ulama say, that husband and wife will fulfill the commands of Allah, he will fulfill the command of Allah, he will move in the path of Allah, keep company of the pious. And the wife will also make sabr and she will be at home. Not that now my husband is out in the path of Allah, I got free rein, credit card and cash, I can move and do what I want to. No. She's not moving in the path of Allah. She's making sabr at home also. She's being patient at home also. And he's also now going, moving with Allah wala's in the path of Allah. You see, Allah makes direct tarbiyat of the children. I can't make tarbiyat of my children. I can't make tarbiyat of myself right now. Yes, I can oversee them, take care of them, guide them. This is direct tarbiyat of Ismail from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the family of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then ulama explain, when it comes to the beauty of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, which we hear commonly. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went on Mi'raj, and there he met Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the third heaven. When he meets him also, it's mentioned in the kitabs, that ثُمَّ عَرَجَ إِلَى السَّمَاءَ الثَّالِثَةَ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ascended to the third heaven. فَاسْتَفْتَحَ Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam requested permission to enter. So فَقِيلَ تُسَمَنْ أَنْتَ Who is there? قَالَ Jibreel. He said, Jibreel is here. So قِيلَ So the malaika on the third heaven asked, that مَنْ مَعَكُ Who is with you? Who is with you during the night of Mi'raj? قَالَ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, with me is the beloved of Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Qila wa qad bu'itha ilay. He said that he has been sent already, has been dispatched as a Nabi of Allah. Qala qad bu'itha ilay. Yes, he has been sent already. Fafutiha lana, they opened the doors. So he entered into the third heaven. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that yes, we heard about the charm and beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, as you heard it. He said, I entered into the third heaven. Fa'idha ana bi Yusuf sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I see suddenly Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذْ هُوَا قَدْ عُطِيَا شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ فَرَحَبَ وَدَعَالِي بِخَيْرٍ So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I entered upon Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and he had been granted a great share of beauty. Great share of beauty. He welcomed me and he made dua for me. So this word shatrun is used in regard to the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It's beautiful how commentators explain the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. You see, great share means, in Arabic it is shatrun, which also means half or a portion. But here the translation is a great share of beauty. Some ulama translate half the beauty of mankind. So Muhaddithin explain and they say, another narration is mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his mother were granted a shatrun, a share, a portion, a great share of the beauty of mankind, or a third of beauty. And the remainder of beauty was distributed across the rest of the world. It was him and his mother. But a more beautiful interpretation is given. That when it comes to the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam compared to the beauty of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there any comparison to the beauty? So in hadith is mentioned in Shamail al-Tirmizi that every Nabi of Allah that is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a handsome face. Every Nabi of Allah had a handsome face and a beautiful voice. And your Nabi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, and your Nabi has the most handsome face and the most beautiful voice. But here we hear about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Half of the beauty of mankind, or one third of it was given to him, the rest distributed to mankind. So here, commentators Ibn Hajar rahimullah says that the description of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of Mi'raj does not include the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Doesn't include his beauty. When he was given half the beauty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not included in this. What does it mean? He says, an opinion is this, that half of the beauty in the hadith of Mi'raj refers to the half of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He was given half the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not of mankind. And he says, beauty was much more than that. So this was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he comes to the people of Jannah also, they will be given the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Moving on now, when it comes to the incidents of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and what was the Shani Nuzul, what was the background of revelation to the surah? Why was the surah revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I want us to fortify his heart. So Nabi of Allah, you've been to many trials, tribulations. Listen to this incident now. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam understood in the story of Yusuf, this also is going to happen with me. So it's mentioned that when the first group of the Ansar of Medina Munawwara accepted Islam and they were returning to Madinatul Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a copy of Surah Yusuf with Rafi bin Malik radiallahu anhu, as it was the first surah of the Quran to reach Madinatul Munawwara. This was the first surah that was sent for Rafi bin Malik for the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara. The background to the revelation to the Jews of Madinah Munawwara, upon hearing the news of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asked the Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah to test him. To test him by asking him about, ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the Nabi, about the messenger that came from Sham, from Syria, whose son was taken to Egypt. Ask Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, does he know this incident about the Nabi of Sham of Syria, whose son was taken to Egypt, and he cried over the loss of his son until he lost his eyesight. It was in response to this question of the Jews of Medina Munawwara to the Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah that this surah was revealed. So when to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they didn't know about it. The Arabs of Makkah didn't know about it. So when ask him, see if he knows, we the Jews, we heard about it. The Jews, we heard about it. It's in our scriptures a bit. And the entire surah was revealed. Some narrations mention that a group of Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah went to Medina Munawwara to verify the authenticity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a Nabi, whether he really is a Nabi or not. Let's go and test him. So they came. So the Jewish rabbis from Medina Munawwara instructed the Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah to ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about the family of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, how they ended up in Egypt. He was from Sham, from Palestine, that area. How did the family end up in Egypt? So the Jews, the rabbis of Medina Munawwara, told these Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah, go and ask him. So the Arabs of Makkatul Mukarramah did not know the story and did not have access to anyone who knew the story either. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to answer this question correctly, it meant that he did get wahi from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and he's a true Nabi. So they asked him, and wahi began thereafter. So it verified, and it was certain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truly the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ahadith also mentioned that the surah was revealed when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu felt the need for motivation. They felt the need for the Qurbani. They were going under Makkatul Mukarramah. So much of sacrifice, Qurbani upon Qurbani. So they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they seriously complained, O Nabi of Allah, how much longer? How much more Qurbani do we give? Alright. The Sumayya being made a Shaheeda, Ammar bin Yasir's family, Suhaib Rumi, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. One poet, Arab poet, says that if the stands of Makkatul Mukarramah could speak, they would tell you the stories of the back of Bilal. They will tell you the blood of Sumayya. Alhamdulillah, we go to Haram of Makkah, but the incidents don't come to mind also. what qurbani was given there for deen to come us. How the deen was upheld by Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what qurbani they gave. So the surah was revealed as a motivation to Sahaba radiallahu anhum and requested Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for an incident, for a story. So Ibn Kathir says that this surah was revealed. So when it comes to the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came between him and his brothers, the first, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, from the first wife he had 10 sons. From the second wife, he had two, Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. From all the sons Allah had blessed him, who gave him out of beauty. So naturally, the brothers fell to this. They fell this now because he attracted the attention of his father. So they fell now, so to say, a bit left behind. So very importantly for us as parents also, when it comes to muhabbat and attention, we give equally between our children. Physical attention. Yes, when it comes to love of the heart, it cannot be controlled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, do not take me to task for the love I have for Aisha. Is that in my control? Say, la amliku, fima la amliku. Ya Allah, I don't have no control of this, or of muhabbat for Aisha compared to the rest of my wives. Ya Allah, do not take me to task for this. So naturally, a parent will have sometime more feeling for a certain child. But they should not display it. Should be equal when it comes to the children completely. Then we will find, and Hazrat says also, that when we will not give our children deen, when we put them into dunya, then there will be rivalry. There will be jealousy. When there's dunya in the home, then there will be jealousy. This child made it. He's making more than that one. But if I made all of them, mashallah, deen dar, taught them all the lessons of the love of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, all of them carrying miswak, no jealousy. All of them, I taught them namaz also, alhamdulillah. All my children are reading salah on time. My sons, my daughters, they're all on par. So I give them deen, there's no jealousy now. Yes, whoever will excel thereafter, academically, etc. But we know in the court of Allah, is qabuliyat and not qabiliyat. Is that how intelligent you are? Is that your qabiliyat? Is that your isti'adad and your ability? But is qabuliyat, is acceptance in the court of Allah. I put this in our children, that we come from amongst ibadaka salihin. The chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That now you must vie and race one another. Put this in the children. Teach them how to eat according to sunnah. Many times we find nowadays, simple sunnah sisters says we don't know. Look in our home also when you're eating. Teach them all the du'as, how to eat. How many of us are eating with our three fingers? Today we find also in pious company when they come to the eating also. It's up to three fingers, the whole hand we're eating with. Oh, the last three fingers, not the first three. Not with the index finger. And the middle finger, and the thumb finger, and the thumb. That's how we should be teaching them all the sunnahs. Then we'll see the muhabbat will be for the sake of Allah. Now the muhabbat we put in them, in the hearts of the children, is muhabbat for dunya. They're going to make it in dunya at all cost. So therefore there will be rivalry between the children. That who made it in dunya? And today we say, Allah's fazal, Allah shukr, he made it. Allah's fazal, Allah shukr, he made it. He bought his first property. If that was the criteria of Allah's love, they will have a mall called Mall of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No mall he left behind. No properties he left behind. Nothing whatsoever. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam behind ilm. That was his inheritance. Quran Sharif, the Ahadith, Fiqh. All the beautiful, beautiful chapters and sciences and funun Allah Ta'ala has given us. So the rivalry will come now. And Hazrat says also, that look at in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasallam. This comes right down now. Right? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was right down to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was far from his son, Ismail. Al-waladu sirun li-abi. Hazrat says that the child is the secret of the father's heart. What the father has in his heart will come out in the children. If the father has love for deen, he'll put all his children on deen. Although he might look now outwardly, not very pious, but he has a passion for deen. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was far away. But Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, he got now the merciful shadow and shade of his father. But Allah Ta'ala chose from this progeny of Ismail, Khatamun Nabiyin sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Here the father cried, not being able to be with his son. But what was pumping in his heart, the love of Allah, to the extent he became Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. That was in the heart of the father. For that there's no boundaries. You know geographical boundaries, the father is far away. How does it make tarbiyat? Allah will make tarbiyat. What's in the father's heart? Hazrat Wala says also, I can be giving the bayan, giving big talks, etc. But the t-shirt I'm wearing inside is Nike and Reebok and Adidas and Puma. That's what I love. I'm showing outwardly I'm wearing a kurta, what I'm wearing inside is what I love. That also has to be closest to deen. Simplicity in that also. So in my home also, I can be wearing my abaya. As when Ali says, now the abaya has become this a black dress. No more parda. That black dress requires now abaya top of that. That has to be covered now. So there's nothing shown, no shape. So what's in the heart of the person? Doesn't mean now outwardly I don't have to show piety. Yes, we have to. We are calling the sunnah completely. But what's in the heart? Did Allah Ta'ala see the heart of the parent? As they say, they were in Jamaat in the path of Allah, and they had an alim there, in France or somewhere it was. They went to meet a businessman. So the businessman, a very big businessman, so he asked an alim of him, how many sons do you have, how many daughters do you have? I got 5 sons. MashaAllah, what they're doing? They're all ulama. So that businessman said, tum to pakke aadmi ho. You're a pakka alim now. He says, why? He says, I'm a businessman. I see profits in my business. So all my children, I put them here. Because they'll make it here also. You are, I think, in your department of ilm, alhamdulillah, you made your life, so you got the yaqeen conviction in that life, so you put all your children in the same line. You're a pakka alim. Or you saw your success in this, so you put all your children in there. Because you have conviction in the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has taught you. So here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also, when it comes to him, when it comes to his brothers also, that his father told him, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. He saw the dream. He saw the dream, 11 stars and the sun and the moon. That interpretation was that these 11 stars were your brothers that will make sajda to you. Allah Ta'ala will give you authority over them. He will excel them. And the moon and the star also making sajda, that is your mother and your father. Father told him, don't tell this to anybody. So here we understand also the confidence he had to speak to his father. So Mir al-Talmi says that to have a sheikh that I can speak to, confide him, somebody I can open up my heart to. Father gave him a mashwara. Don't tell anybody about it. So he kept it between himself. But somehow the story went out that he saw this dream. And how thereafter they conspired against him, against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So his father told him, don't tell them, shaitan now will play between, inna shaitan lakum, inna shaitan al-insani adu mubin. Shaitan is an open enemy to you. That he'll create this jealousy. Because they feel now, the brothers feel because of your handsomeness that you attract my attention, so they want to take you away from me, out of my eyes. And actually Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam loved Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah Ta'ala had a plan for him. Allah will choose him, yastabika rabbuk. That he was informed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam among the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So here after they plotted, and they asked their father. So the rivalry was there, and he was the youngest of them. He couldn't keep up with them also. But look at the brothers now, because there wasn't in them that level of deen. And as the Hakim Sahib would say, rahmatullah alayhi, the parents, many a parent say also, that I won't be too hard on my children. I see the family, they were so hard on that boy. They sent him to madrasa, sent him away from home. They forced him to wear a kurta. They forced him to do this. Now he's not interested. They don't want to do it anymore. That's a wrong misconception. Yes, we bring deen in our homes with muhabbat and with love. From the time the child is young already, Hazrat says, put on the burki, put on the topi, put on the kurta. Why should my child look cute to me if he looks like John, or Tom, or Peter, somebody else, some Christian or Yahudi? He should look handsome and cute to me when they look like Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Shibhanu. Shining stars. So put on for them from the time they are young. They should only know that one way. And this rivalry also, the jealousy also, and the love of dunya and the children also, the Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, where does this come from? See, the child will learn to speak, have akhlaq and adab and respect. You only have 7 years to teach this child. By 7 years old, he picks up how to speak like the parents. By 7 years old. He already picks up how to act, how to react, how to speak, language, vocab, he picks up from the parents already. By the age of 7. When our Kabir asked when to make tarbiyat of the children, they say from the time you're here, your wife is expecting conception took place, tarbiyat already starts in the womb of the mother. From that time already, This I mentioned to one student one time. So he says that there was one scientist, a doctor in America. So he read about this. So his wife was expecting. So for 9 months, every day for 9 months, he had his own ta'lim. Allah give us tawfiq to have ta'lim in our homes. For every day for 9 months, for half an hour, he would take the encyclopedia and read to the unborn child in the womb of his wife. He would read encyclopedia. When the child was born, began to speak, the child was quoting encyclopedia already. So the Shaykh Rahman's father, already when he was speaking, knew Quran Sharif so much. So we feel now when the child gets big, then we start making tarbiyat. Already his task before the child comes into this world. So Ali would say, radiallahu anhu, let the child play free till the child is 7 years old. Now you put the child in the creche at the age of 3. By the time he's 13, he crashed already. Doesn't know who is the father, doesn't know who is the mother. He loves the maid domestic more than the mother also. He listened to her. Or he listened to the ma'am. Ma'am told me this. Trust the teacher, educated tutor more than the parent. Parents say, but I'm telling you, no, but my ma'am told me this. My madam told me this. He trusts that person more than he trusts his own parents. And worse than that, ulama say, nah, he listens to the third parent in the home more than his own parents. Who's the third parent? The cell phone, the TV. Has more authority. Sometimes tell the child, if you don't come, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break it. So who is listening more to? More to the gadgets than to the parents. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, is that the child's fault? Now, unfortunately, we find when you travel out with Umrah, etc., and in the Haramain also in the masjid, just to keep the child quiet, give him a cell phone. Watching cartoons right in the masjid. Eating diet on the cell phone also. Then there is going to be a rivalry. There is going to be fighting. We're fighting for the computer. We're fighting for the game. We're fighting for the cell phone. Only fight in the house. Because all these haram gadgets used for haram is coming to the home. Hazrat Thani says, Rahmatullah, the worst thing for a child is to expose a child to something which is not supposed to be exposed to. Once you expose the child to something, then already he's seen it, he's experienced it, now he has a taste for it. Lie to the child, you can't have it. Why you showed him in the first place? Hazrat Thani gave the example. Don't take young girls to halls for weddings and nikahs and walimas. Don't take them. If you got this bad habit of going, you're going to go sit in a hall and view the bride and the bride and the bride and the bridesmaid, which is not an Islamic thing, but you're going to do it, don't spoil your children. Because it will come with that young girl, one day I also become a bridesmaid. I said, it's haram. Mommy, you went? But I had my parada on. Yeah, you had your parada. Doesn't mean it's halal now because you had your parada on. Wasn't supposed to be there. There was photography over there. The cameraman was there. But I had my parada on. But you're not supposed to be there. Now you do the young girl. Now she's got in her mind a fairy tale nikah I want to have. Fairy tale wedding. And now you're trying to put her in the girl's madrasa. Try to give her tarbiyah. But you already saw it. Ulama say, one mistake we make when it comes to our children is we think them to be children they don't understand. But they do understand. The nafs of a child is not a child, is an adult already. And how that nafs of the child will bend the parent also, you have to give in. You have to give in to the child. It shows you now, although he's a child or she's a child, but that nafs is that of an adult. It wants it, it will bend the parent also to do it for the child. So it shows you that nafs of the child is so strong. We say, no, he's still a small man. Let him play, let her dress like this, let her dress like that. And when she comes of age, now I can't wear pants, it's not comfortable, I'm feeling hot. I can't wear burqa, I'm feeling too hot. So already tarbiyat starts from young, exposure to take them to all these holiday places, which is the worst place. Now they're getting so used to it. They're getting so used to these places, then we tell them, no, you can't do this now. No, you can't go alone, you can't go on your own. The child already experienced it. And whose mercy it was? The parents, because we want to go for the holiday. So now we can't dump them anywhere, take them with and show them everything. And now, the child wants to do it, we say, no, you can't do it. But the parent. Then there is going to be a rivalry in the home. There is going to be jealousy in the home. Now my sister went for holiday. My brother went for holiday. I didn't go. Now you're going to send me also. And elaborate, so much money being spent. So all this enmity will start. And you find in the home the enmity is about what? Not about deen. You won't find out there's fighting. That boy used miswak. I didn't use a miswak. I'm fighting now. Nobody fought for miswak. Nobody fought for the miswak. We're fighting for all dunya things. So we put the importance of dunya in the heart. The value of dunya in the heart. Which child fought now that my brother woke up for tahajjud? I mean, why he didn't get me up? I'm upset, I'm crying. Why did he give me for tahajjud? There's no rivalry there. Everybody's happy. I had a good sleep. He woke up, Alina, he's tired. But for dunya, so what's in the parents' heart that they will detect already? And as I mentioned, the love of the child is not a child, it's an adult already. So for us as parents, how to bring this complete deen in our home? And to put the importance, and very, very importantly, we say also, when it comes to tarbiyat of the children, every mother is worried, they have milestones, they have books also now. At this certain date and time, he took his first step. Certain date and time, he took the first morsel. So I didn't know that hisab kitab is going to go in the qabr, the child is going to show on Qiyamah's day, my first step I took, and the first morsel I had, and all. It's all absolutely futile. Futile. What we should be teaching the child at that age, the kalima, the name of Allah. But all this, and then the child is 3 years old, now we're googling. By 3 years old now, he or she should know already the colors, should know a number 1 to 10 already. Now my child is backwards. We stop now at the robot, ask the child, what color is that? The child can't make out, is red or is green. Or 3 years old, he should know it already. Parents go so much of fikr. My child is behind. The reality, my dear brothers, we know when went through childhood already. When it comes to dunya, the child will learn it, whether now or later he will learn it. To count money, we won't have to teach him, he'll learn how to count money. Don't worry. His numbers and colors, he will learn it. But his Quran Sharif, will he learn automatically? He'll learn it, he won't learn it like that. That he won't learn. Allah's promise, rosy he will get. Allah didn't promise he will get deen. Allah didn't promise he will get deen. Allah didn't promise that your child will learn Quran on their own. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا Allah said, make mujahada. Make mujahada. For deen, you have to make the mujahada, sacrifice. For dunya, you will come. You will learn all these things. She will learn it. But so much now, so much anxiety the mothers have, that my child is backwards. He didn't learn this. By 6 years old already, he's supposed to know this. By 10 years old, he's supposed to know that. By 10 years old, the child's supposed to be in the masjid, his father for namaz. For takbir-e ula. By 7 years old, the child's supposed to be awake reading namaz. Muru awladakum. Nabi Ali Sassam gave a command that command your children. What does it mean? It's wajib upon the parents to command them. If you don't command them, the guna is yours. But he's only 7 years old. But he's already way for coaching. He's become international cricketer. At 7 years old, he hardly can hold that bat, it's so big for him. But no, he must go still. He must go still. The Quran he'll learn. He knows a little bit of Surah Fatiha. Read Surah Fatiha, bacha. Little bit broken, he reads it. He reads it also with a different type of a accent also. Alright? We can't read the Quran properly. So that mujahada we have to make. That is no rivalry now. When we give them deen, there is no rivalry. Now there is muhabbat. We 3, 4 brothers, 5 brothers, we all in tarabi together, mashallah. Mashallah, all know the door. My daughters also, mashallah, they are making takrar, matala together. There is no rivalry. There is rivalry in dunya. So in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also, because they perceived now, because of his outer beauty, father's attention has been taken away, so let's get rid of him. So now they're planning, they're plotting. Same thing with dunya also, the children will plot and plan, let father go. Sisters, I'll give them nothing. Father had time for them in dunya, give them everything, they took his attention away from me, so let the miras and inheritance come, I won't give them anything. But if he had deen in him, if father gave them deen, subhanallah. One brother just told me now before namaz, father passed away, sisters didn't have much, so my share I gave it to them. I don't have one property in my name. I gave them because they were having hard times, so my share I gave it to my 2 sisters. And I moved in with my wife. When deen will come in the person's life. So here they perceive now, because the father's attention is taken away, let's get rid of him. They do so. They made this entire plan. And then continuing now the tafsir and the incidents of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, how they plotted, one say we will kill him. Then the eldest brother, some say his name was Yehuda, or his name was Rubel, or his name was Shim'un. 3 different names they give for him. He had a bit of a soft spot in his heart for his youngest brother. He said, no, don't kill him. We just want him out of the face right now. Wajhu abikum. We just want him out of the face. And they said also, we get rid of him. وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ We make tawah, we become pious after that. We become pious. Right, I took my sister's miras, I didn't give my sisters, or I didn't give my brother, then I'll make tawbah and I'll be happy after that. It won't happen like that. We have to do it right. So like this now, he says, no, don't kill him. You want to get rid of him, so make some other plan. Put him in the, put him in a deep well. Somebody will pick him up, travelers will take him away. Or maybe the scorpion, the snakes in the well will kill him, but you don't kill him. So they gave in to that. So as they move on, so they made a plan with their father. Children now make a plan. They know now how to play parents against one another. That's why it's important to have mashwara in the home. Parents speak the same language. Speak the same language, what we want for our children. Pillow talk. We call it pillow talk. Husband and wife. Must be on the same page. We only want deen for them. Dunya will come. We want deen for them. Allah will grant them dunya also. And we all have this fear that we're going to do for the children something. Reality is, most of us, how much did our parents do for us? Allah gave us after that. Each one has their own rosy. And the parent has the hope that they will also take care of me, my old age. Who is yaqeen upon Allah now? That in your young age, Allah couldn't take care. He took care of you. And in your old age, He can't take care of you. Allah will give them deen. Yes, they will. Unlike one couple we heard some time ago. Both were academics, both were professionals. They got married. Then the mother-in-law passed away. Father-in-law was left alone. So wife told the husband, see, we both are working. So we'll allow him to come stay in the house. At least he can look after the house for us. So old man brought him in the house, stayed over there. Then the wife was working the whole year. She told the husband, came home, I booked a holiday. I need a holiday, you need a holiday. But your old man now, what are you going to do with him? He said, I don't know. He says, well, that's your problem. But one, now this is now when there's no deen. He said, but I've got a plan. We've got medical aid for him. So let's book him in the hospital for 2 weeks. He can do all these tests and he can stay there for 2 weeks. We go for holiday. There's the value of the old man now, when there's no deen. So they packed him up, sent him to the hospital. Say he's not well, do his test. After 2 weeks, we'll pick him up. So when he came to the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, so they made a plan. How to get around the father. So they said, أَرَسِيلُ مَعَنَا غَدَي يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. They said, oh, father, they send him with us, send Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam with us tomorrow, so that we may eat, we'll have a picnic. And we'll play. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. يَرْتَعْ will eat. Like how we say, we'll have a picnic. And we will play. And don't worry, we shall take good care of him. This is the way now to take him away. This is the scheme and the plot behind. So when the ulama say, see, they ask Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, that we just want to go out a bit. We'll get some air, we'll eat a little bit, and we'll play. So Tani rahmatullah alayhi says that that type of exercise, that will enable a person to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will give him the strength, and physically it will keep him healthy and alert to perform his salah, Quran tilawat, to move in the path of Allah, to travel in the path of Allah. That type of exercise is commendable, mustahab. It is mustahab. But the sports the youngsters are playing now is damaging their legs, ligaments, muscles, ankles, knees. Then we see the youngsters sitting in the masjid in the chair. Sahaba ikram, Qiyamah's day, they will come with also broken limbs. Then, question will be asked, what happened to you, Sahabi? It's a battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq, battle of Badr. Unfortunately, my son, they are asking, by what happened to your leg? It's a battle of the AstroTurf. Battle of AstroTurf. I broke my leg there, I couldn't read namaz after that. We can understand this from this point, whether it's haram, whether it's permissible, whether it's makruh. If that is damaging our children, the type of sports, and leave the gyms now, where we can't even put our foot in there right now. That environment, the whole thinking behind it. And the youngsters will say, but no, they got music there, I put my earpods on, I got qirat playing. Said the time to listen to qirat when you're gymming. Why? I'll make it sharia compliant, make it halal. Make it sharia compliant. What's the need behind it? As one alim says, it's just more now muscle and ghost for the wombs of the qabr. That's only building it for that. And yes, now alhamdulillah, the ummah has come to a different level. Halal entertainment. Hazrat says, as ulama, is it our job to think entertainment for the ummah? Our job is to think akhirah for the ummah. That's halal entertainment for you. You haven't come to play. Lahu wa la'ib. Then we say, no, but archery is there. Horse riding is there. Swimming is there. But our environment, we can understand, where are you going to go swimming? Halal swimming, you can't go to the beach anymore. It's permissible, you can see whatever is there on the beaches right now. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat also, beaches around in KZN, even not park maybe too. Right, so much of filth in the water. People are getting sick. her a place to go. So tell them, Ustaz, make a little sabr. Allah will give you a private beach in Jannat. There you can take all your children and play how much you want. A little bit sabr. Hazrat said, put one foot on your nafs and other one is in Jannah, and tell yourself, O Yusuf, dunya sabr is only 2 minutes, a little bit sabr, you'll be there in Jannat. Just 2 minutes, make a little bit sabr, you'll be there in Jannat. There you can enjoy. Very important point, when you come to archery on his place, whether he's shooting on his place, comes a horse riding, ulama say very clearly, for the ladies' masturat, not permissible. Is there a sport? Sahabiyat, when they used to sit on the horse, it was on the carriage. You wouldn't stripe the horse, legs on either side. Definitely not. So horse riding, not for the ladies and masturat. They were riding as a conveyance. In the carriage, or both the legs on one side, if they had to. So archery, horse riding, and swimming. So these things, ulama say, Sahaba ikram used to be engaged in these things. The Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, not necessarily Sahabiyat. Sahaba were engaged in these activities as training for jihad, not as entertainment. We made this entertainment. They would do this because they were trained for jihad, to go and give their lives in the path of Allah. We're doing it for holiday, for entertainment. Therefore, it's never enough. But this also, Hazrat Talmi says, Rahmatullah alayh, that, oh, our father, send Yusuf alayhi salam with us, we'll have a bit of a picnic. Jai is permissible. And here also, we find so many riwayat. There were sahaba ikram used to race one another. Nabi alayhi salatu salam used to race as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. But now, when we are, we do this thing permissible. Not in public view, not public eye. Then now we take the whole family, etc. And these outings, going out, socializing, going for dinners and suppers, reserving a table, and we're going everywhere. We don't know the quality of the other person's heart. Hadith Sharif says very clearly, Alhamdu al-Maut, the brother-in-law is death. Brother-in-law is death. The wife will take the husband, we're going out to eat. We're going out to eat. Rather say, I just did your kitchen up for you, 100,000 rand. Did up the house for you, 1,000,000 rand. We just moved in, everything is 100%, alhamdulillah. Now the wife says, we need a holiday. What did you do the house for then? Where I did the kitchen up for then? But no, we're going out to eat. Inshallah, we're going out to eat. Who's coming also? My one friend and her husband, and my sister and her husband, we're all sitting together. Then the wife doesn't have a problem. Then she's not insecure. But when his sisters come home, when the mother-in-law comes home, then she feels insecure. Your sister's sitting too close to you. Oh, your mother is always asking you for something. But now my sister-in-law will ask you, not a problem. Mashallah, good akhlaq, was good akhlaq, was fine. I said, don't show you too pious. But the whole family, women who are mahram, there she feels insecure. Hadith said, you say, this is haram completely. You should be completely insecure over here. As Hakim Sahib was here, rahmatullah alayh, the way there's intermingling now, brother-in-law is smiling at sister-in-law, right? And he says so beautifully, Hazrat puts us to us also, that now the husband supposed to be smiling with the wife. She's sitting to the right-hand side. He's sitting, you're putting the right indicator on, but the left bulb is coming on. Look at the sister-in-law. Where he's supposed to put your dims, don't look at the sister-in-law, putting brights on. That's head-on collision. As Hakim Sahib would say, that who you thought was your son turned out to be your nephew. What happened? So this going out is not our culture. So you complete parda, absolute parda, between segregation, between the men and the women, to the extent that Hakim Sahib Rahimullah was so particular. What is muhabbat on his place? How much muhabbat to show one's children, one's daughter, one's son, daughter-in-law, etc., etc. Yes, we say daughter-in-law is mahram, she is mahram. We accept it. But what is mahramiyyah? To be a mahram through blood relations and mahram through in-law relations. Then to this paradade. Mahram through blood relations, your sister, mother, niece, aunt, kala, foy, all these are mahrams through blood relations. So parada is not so strict, but then to the Hakim Sahib say, maintain certain amount of sharam and haya. And now mahramiyat becoming mahram through in-law relations. My mother-in-law, now I'm mahram to her. Right? If my wife was married previously, she came with her daughter, that now becomes my stepdaughter, I can never marry her, even if I have divorced her mother. So there's also, there's no She said, I'm not a غير محرمتها.